opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Well, the Rockets found a different way to win. And heck, the Astros are 2-0 since we last spoke. It's all about the woo, apparently. Let's do this. It's a Skeeters Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Constellation Field in Sugarland. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li back in studio keeping us on air. My buddy Tyler taking care of us out here at Constellation Field in Sugar Land. If you want to get in today, best way to do it is hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. You can also get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975, and I guess at producer T. Scott, too, since he's out here with us. Best way is Twitter or the text line, 713-780-3776 is your number, 713-780-ESPN. And we are out here for the opener for the Skeeters tonight.
The season opener, Fred, and, for the defending champions.
And speaking of that, the giveaway tonight that they're having a replica championship.
You notice my bling?
Yeah, that's pretty
badass. How's it look on me?
It looks like something you could use in a bar to pick up women.
Or knock somebody out.
You could knock somebody out with that, too. I mean, it looks like a real championship ring. So if you're...
And you'd leave that little interlocked SL.
Yeah, you have an SL right in their forehead.
That's right.
Right when you just bash them there. So, yeah, we're out here tonight for the opener. And A.J. is going to throw out the first pitch. We were just talking about that, I guess, at 6:40, the ceremonial first pitch.
Right.
Which I guess is not the real first pitch.
They said, listen, it's opening day of the season after our first ever Atlantic League championship. We want a really, really big star to throw out the first pitch tonight.
Yeah, and I couldn't do it. So.
And then Fred said no. Fred turned them down, and they were like, okay, well, let's get his sidekick, and we'll see if that guy will do it.
Well, so. I just figure the guy who's been playing baseball with his kid all year long and throwing baseballs would be better equipped to go out there and not embarrass himself than the dude who hasn't thrown a ball in a year and a half.
I mean, it's throwing a baseball.
I know, but
it doesn't change.
I know, but if you dribble it up there or if you 50 cent it or something like that.
You worried you were going to Baba Booey it.
Yeah.
You thought you would be the new Baba Booey.
Yeah, because what I would do is you know, because I'm an idiot, I would get up there and try to throw the ball hard, and then it would bounce, 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 and I'd look stupid.
Or, that's why you don't go up there and try to throw it hard.
I know, but.
You just lay it in there. I mean.
I know, but I, you know.
No one's expecting you to go out there and throw heat. You're an old-ass man.
I know, but I just want to show that I can still hit 40 on the gun.
Okay.
Maybe well, 35.
All right.
But
there is always there's an inherent risk of humiliation if you throw out the
right,
first pitch.
Right, which, yeah, I'm not afraid to be humiliated.
I'm actually
pretty good at it. But.
I don't know what the percentage chance is, like what the actual... The odds are?
Oh, for me, the odds would be about 70% chance of humiliation. For
you think so?
For you, I think it's about 15.
Okay.
Because you've been around baseball a lot lately, so. Now, I can't remember. I think I played softball about a year and a half with some friends.
Okay.
That's about a year and a half ago. And that's not even a baseball. It's on a softball.
True.
It's a totally different animal. But I know it's not that hard, but I've also seen much better people than me go out there and choke it.
They offered for me to go down before the show started and throw some warm-up tosses. And to which I said, I'm not pitching the game. I'm just going to throw the ball once, right? And
well, and they said, well, our pitcher may not be here. So
he said, yeah, you're just throwing the one pitch. So I said, all right, I don't need any warm-ups then. I'll consider my first pitch like my warm-up. So I should be okay.
You'll be fine. I'm not worried about it at
but
all.
But maybe I'll be humiliated. Who knows?
That's okay, too. At least if you screw it up royally. If I did it, I'd want to hit the mascot. I'd want to pull a Nuke LaLoosh.
Yeah.
And hit the mascot. And then it goes viral, and then everybody says, oh, wow, can you believe how bad this guy was? Lance wants to know, what are the odds AJ gets wooed and booed when he throws the first pitch?
Now, wooed, 60%. Booed, 75%.
Okay.
You think?
No, I think the booing's lower.
Really?
The wooing is probably higher.
Okay.
After yesterday. I've come 180 on the wooing. I've decided, you know what, woo all you want. I don't care. If that's what makes you happy, woo away. Yeah, I wish they would just do it when Reddick's up, but doing it during the whole at-bat.
Dude, you know what the worst is? Now the Astros are tweeting out Ric Flair GIFs, and they're saying woo on there. Yeah. It's...
The Astros have embraced it, so that's what they want. Just don't be that guy that does it the whole game.
I'm just going to – I'm not going to talk about the woos anymore because I feel like it's like terrorism or like mass murderers.
Well, in this case, the terrorists have won. We lost. The terrorists
you know how now when there's a school shooting, they never show the shooter or they never refer to them by name anymore in the media?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do now. I'm not going to talk about them anymore. I'm only going to talk about the victims, which is basically everyone in the city who's not an a-hole. Those are the victims. So I'm only going to talk about them going forward. And if wooers want to woo, hey, I'm just going to shake them off.
I think they should do whatever the hell they want. If that's what makes them happy, great. I'd rather be talking about how, boy, Dallas Keuchel looks like 2015 Dallas Keuchel again. I'd love to do the bet. Remember how we used to go through the lineup and we'd laugh at the batting averages because they weren't major league players and it was awful? I'd love to go do that and talk about how good they look right now and how Lance McCullers had a really good outing today. And, boy, Chris Stavinsky has really pitched well. I'd like to talk about that, but no, we're not going to. We'll just say, all right, woo to you. Congratulations.
And when people say, why aren't you talking about the Astros? We'll just say, woo.
2A1 said the announcers wooed during the game.
Oh, great.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Hey, whatever. You guys do you. So, 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. Rockets last night. I like the way they won that game.
Dude, that series is incredibly over.
The cool thing about that is you have to win games different ways. Obviously the first game, they weren't shooting threes well. They still blew them out. Last night, I liked how they just kind of grinded. And obviously, OKC threw its best shot right off the bat. And the Rockets grinded their way back into it, got it close in the fourth quarter. And then when the game was on the line, that 10-0 run put it away. And
is this more of a the Rockets comeback or – Russell Westbrook collapsed? Because I kind of looked at it as a Russell Westbrook collapse.
That was part of it. And you look at Westbrook's numbers and you say, just on the surface, you say, wow, the guy was fantastic. The shooting percentage, not so good. In the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And I think part of that was the Rockets cranked up the defense a little bit. I think he got panicky and took some bad shots. And the Rockets made their shots when they needed to in that one stretch near the end of the game to pull away. And, of course, it got a little close at the end. But the reality is that 10-0 run won the game. And part of that was, Beverly making the three and the Rockets making their shots. And part of it was Russell Westbrook just being a jack and
Russell
taking
Westbrook
bad shots.
Forgetting that Victor Oladipo's on his team too. I understand, you want it, when the moment's big, you want to be the guy taking the shots. But sometimes you remember Michael Jordan passing off the ball every once in a while and him letting his guys make big plays. That's how it has to be. But Russell Westbrook saw it differently. He felt like he had to take every shot down the stretch. And honestly, Russ Westbrook's stat line going into the fourth quarter was amazing. The first three quarters, he looked like an MVP. And then in the fourth quarter, he was so bad that his full box score – ended up being kind of – obviously it's a 51-point triple-double. It's hard to say that's meh.
Yeah.
But the line is diminished by how awful he was in the fourth quarter. And he just did not want to get anybody else involved. And it was really, I think, a one-man collapse. And if you're going to be the one man, you want to be a one-man band, you got to take the good with the bad. And last night was definitely the bad.
And – hey, 51 points, nothing to sneeze at, but 17 of 43 from the field.
Yeah.
And he got the free throw line a lot, as did Harden. But that's – it's impressive, but it's not necessarily efficient. And I'll just say, Russell Westbrook's going to win the MVP, but I think the way James Harden, at the end of the game, it wasn't Harden that was making the plays. It was other players. He had guys stepping up. And in the end, I think he's got better players around him. And I think he does a better job of elevating their games than Westbrook does his guys in terms of, in Westbrook had better stats and better numbers. But a lot of times it looks like they stand around. And the Rockets do that sometimes with Harden. But it sure seems a lot less under D'Antoni than it was in the past. And there's a lot of times where Thunder are just standing around waiting to see what Russell's going to do or get out of his way so he can – he can isolate.
Well, last night, let's face it, James Harden didn't play great either.
No, he didn't.
It was not a great
night. He was better in the second half.
Yeah.
When they had to get back in the game.
But early pressure on him, the dude, he was turning the ball over. They had a really great game plan for him early on. It was basically pressure James Harden when he gets the ball. Don't let him get any space and make somebody else beat you. And Not only did that work for him, but James Harden was like he was turning it over to him. He was giving the ball away, so it was really perfectly executed in the first half by the specifically the first quarter by the Thunder. But when you play that kind of pressure defense, it wears you down late in games. You're not the same team. Clearly, they weren't the same team late in the game. And you mentioned that 10-0 run. And there was a run where Russ Westbrook wasn't on the floor. And I don't know if it was 10-0 at that point. I mean, it was like maybe 8-0 or 10-2, something like that, while Russ was sitting on the bench. And I was like, man, this – you've played all season long to get to this. You got to take that break right now. Do you have to?
Yeah.
And
getting late in the game, they both were under 40 minutes. I'm like, those guys should play as much as, especially Westbrook.
Have Russ Westbrook playing 43, 44 minutes a game.
Yeah. And really,
you know what? If the wheels fall off of him, okay. Because if the wheels fall off Russ Westbrook, you're going to lose. If Russ Westbrook doesn't play 44 minutes, you're going to lose. So you might as well give yourself the puncher's chance.
He wound up playing 41. That's not enough for me. I want him out there another 3 or 4 minutes. And Harden only played 37. I think Harden should be playing 40 minutes a game.
I would have given – if I were Billy Donovan, I would have asked Russ Westbrook, hey, can you play the entire second half? And he had his rest in the second quarter. I would have said, listen, you had a couple minutes here. Can you give us a full second half? And if he said no, okay, he says no. If he asks out, if he taps his helmet, okay. But say, I want you out there as much as possible. Especially on a night where they had a shortened rotation because they didn't want to use Enes Kanter, which seemingly worked for a while. But then you start, when he's out there, I've never seen a big man who is so smooth and fluid on offense and so clumsy and giraffe-like on defense. It's like there's just a switch that flips, and a guy who's actually got good footwork on the offensive end has looks like a skilled player on offense. And then he gets to the other end of the floor, and it's like he looks like Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He looks like RoboCop.
It's unbelievable night and day for that dude.
But the one thing and just one more thing on that, and obviously we'll hit on this some more, but the other thing I like about what I've seen out of Harden the first couple games is when he's not making the threes, he's doing a good job of driving to the basket and not just totally focusing on shooting threes and things like that. And he did that last night, and he picked his spots better, especially in the second half, and he made some nice moves to the basket. And I like seeing that. That's adjusting your game when you're not hitting shots, and that's what good players are supposed to do. In fact, maybe we should send him some flowers because I would forget. I know, like, his birthday's probably
coming up.
You're
going to forget because game three is not for 3 more weeks.
Exactly. So I'll forget all about what a great job he did. But the good news is I can get it set up now to send him to him for game three. Because Pro Flowers has their Pro Gifter service, which is terrific. This is the easiest, most fail-proof way to never forget an event and look awesome all year. And, guys, you know, I forget birthdays and anniversaries and stuff like that. Well, the Pro Gifter service allows you to schedule 3 bouquet deliveries, same or different, to 3 addresses or the same, up to a year in advance. So if you want to send one to Tom Savage before the season starts, you can get it done now. And if you're one of those,
if you want to send him to his hospital room week 3,
week one. But hey, right now, 3 bouquets with
with vases and free shipping, all for just $99.
Yep, you're going to save time and money. That's up to $70 in savings. You're going to look thoughtful. You're going to look like you spent a lot more money than you did. And Pro Flowers, they always send the best flowers. They've got a 7-day freshness guarantee or your money back. And all flowers from Pro Flowers pass a 7-point quality check before they're shipped, so you know they're going to look good. There's plenty of occasions you should be sending flowers for. I know you can think of one right now. Go to proflowers.com. Look for the Pro Gifter banner right on the homepage. Pick your flowers, set the delivery dates, and you're done. It's that simple. It's Pro Flowers. Proflowers.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Constellation Field in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back out here at Constellation Field in Sugarland. And you know what? The weather's great.
It is great.
The last couple of times we came out here, remember they said it never rains out? Well, they wanted
it rained out.
Yeah, but not this time. It's great today. Although, dude, it was so humid this afternoon when I went out for my run. I was like, oh, my God, it's only April. But
I didn't run today. Guess why?
Because your foot's blowing up.
My pinky toe looks like I stepped on an IED or something. It's crazy. It's a mess.
I'm glad you have shoes on, though. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I squeeze it in. Oh, the only reason I wore shoes is because they asked me to throw out that first pitch. Otherwise, I would have.
Yeah.
Still, I would have been in flip flops out here. Flip flops would have drastically increased my odds of humiliation.
The first 2,000 fans in attendance get the championship replica ring tonight. And there's also a post-game fireworks show, which they're going to do every Friday. And if you come out Saturday, they have these very cool Sugarland Skeeters hats, which if you walk by, you'll see me wearing one. So you need to come out Saturday to get one because they're very cool. A couple things from Twitter. I want to get caught up on that because – and then a lot more to get to, obviously. Andy says he's listening to the Blitz on the road to Denver with his best bud to help him move. We're staying sportsy, bitches. He's got a picture of them with the U-Haul. Make sure you taste the wares while you're up there, Andy. Trip to Denver,
but use moderation.
Right. Don't be AJ.
Yeah. Don't be me and lost in the dunes in the middle of the night, thinking a coyote's going to eat you, unable to remember your children's names.
Yeah, that's never a good sign.
Not good.
Jared said I threatened to leave my buddy at the game for wooing too much.
Good for you, Jared.
Hey, you know what? Let him woo away. Woo away. You just guys have fun with it. Last night we went to we're having some dinner at a place near the. Near the Minute Maid, and people next to us offered us really nice tickets for the Astros game. Like, nah, gonna go home watch the Rockets. I don't want to get wooed at. And you responded to Bob who asked if the Thunder get swept. Does that hurt Westbrook's MVP chances? I still think a lot of people don't realize that that's a totally regular season award, and the votes are already in. So just. For those of you who are thinking that, and I know there's a bunch of you because we get that tweet about once a day, I know people don't realize that's the case, but we'll tell you. Hector said, thought you were exaggerating about the woos, went to the game today, it was horrible. See, shouldn't we be talking about how Lance McCullers was really good today and Davinsky got another save? Oscar, what would you rather sit through, Astros game with woos or Mississippi State football game with cowbells? The cowbells are the worst. I hate those cowbells.
Yeah.
Lamont, since we're on remote, what are the odds my Wi-Fi is acting up? Well, I was the last one to get on Wi-Fi here, but it's so far so good.
I think the worst game I've ever sat through was a Texas A&M game. And it was my first time going to a Texas A&M game. Obviously,
well, that is a culture shock.
Kyle Field's renovated now. I feel like it's more stable. But if you ever went to Kyle Field before this last year, it didn't feel like it was going to hold up all that well,
right.
And the whole building would move, which is like when you're standing on a big pile of concrete and it's moving left and right.
Yeah,
it's a very very concerning feeling. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I can't tell you the first time I was there and that started, I thought, oh, this whole place is coming down.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah, but, it's I mean, it's a different experience, though, and I think it's a better experience in the new stadium because you don't feel like – I mean, the place still shakes, even as nice as it is and all the work they've done to it. But it's I just think it's kind of cool if you've never seen it before. But if you're, like, an opponent and you have to go there all the time, it probably gets old.
I mean, at least on the field, it probably doesn't feel like you're going to collapse.
No.
Well, in the stands, it did.
Yeah. Well, I've been on the field, too, when it's going on, and it's actually really cool while you're down there because you're not worried about the stands falling.
Right, you're not worried about death.
Yeah.
Although if the stands fell, I mean, chances are good it wouldn't be great for the people sitting or, like, on the field.
No.
You know?
Well, it would be sad to see all those people die.
Right, but some of that rubble might fall on you.
I'd head straight to the middle, to the center of the field on the 50-yard line and let the rubble all just kind of shoom.
Okay. You remember, like, in the Dark Knight Return or Dark Knight Rises when the football field collapses? What if that happens?
Yeah, but see, that they blew it up from underneath.
Okay. And that, you don't think the Aggies would ever do that to you?
Well, because what's underneath the field? There's nothing.
We don't know.
Apparently there.
Would you have thought there was anything under the field in Gotham City?
Well, yeah, because they have subways, and all those guys were hiding underneath the ground.
You don't think there's a subway in College Station?
No, I don't.
How do you think they eat fresh there?
Yeah. Or flesh, either
one. I win.
Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Lee said, anyone see this about the Hernandez thing and how the conviction becomes null and void and his family gets all the money? Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. And I don't have much more to add to that other than I'm glad he's dead. So he says, Kyle Field moving is an optical illusion.
No. It's not.
Not if you're in those stands. You feel it.
You feel it. It's not optical.
In fact, that's nothing at all.
It makes you want to poop.
Says the fans swaying are what makes it look like it's moving.
No. The fans swaying make the thing move.
Yeah.
At least back then. I don't know if it still does. It seems like now that they've got the end zones closed in, the whole structure feels more stable.
Yeah.
It used to just be a really tall thing, like, you know, a really tall bleacher sitting up out of the sky. I mean, into the sky. It would, you know, it wasn't connected to the rest of the stadium. I didn't like that.
To think Bain only missed taking out Hines Ward by 10 yards.
Could have got him.
Yeah.
Could have got him.
But, I you know what?
And to think that Hines Ward, with all of that going on, still scored. That's the amazing thing.
He did.
Thing.
He got to the end zone.
He got there.
Now I want to go watch that movie again. And I'm so far behind, man. I haven't watched Better Call Saul. I haven't watched Fargo yet. I have not had time to sit down and watch TV.
I watched Fargo last night because I didn't want to turn on the woos. I said, well, it's either turn on the – because I finished the Rockets game, and I was like, well – and then I looked over at the Golden State-Portland game, and I was like, well, it's a massacre. No need to.
Yeah, there was no reason
nothing
to
see
that.
Here.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'll just watch Fargo. That's enough sports for one night because I don't want to
I watched the Rockets. I watched a little of the hockey and then switched over and watched the end of the Astros game. On mute, of course. But, I just – hopefully tonight because there's not any basketball I want to watch. And, you know, I'm not as crazy about the hockey games tonight, so maybe I'll get caught up on a couple. So, 832 says, Barry was complaining about his wife not letting him smoke weed today. My wife just texted me saying she got us some for tonight.
Well,
your wife,
different kind of women.
I'm going to say point for your wife.
Yeah.
So.
My wife doesn't like me to smoke weed either. So, but, you know, when I went in Rome, like, where, and she doesn't mind pot. She just doesn't want, me to be committing crime.
Well,
so,
are you in Harris County?
I am.
Okay, then you're not committing a crime. It's decriminalized.
Possessing it is decriminalized.
Right.
Buying it is still not decriminalized.
Well, once you bought it, though, now you possess it.
Yeah, but I've just got to risk that little bit of crime to get to the non-crime. But, like, when we're going to spend some time up in Seattle this summer, and – you know, when we're there, she doesn't care what I do. When I went to Denver to train, she didn't care what I did. So it's all got different rules.
I haven't smoked in a while.
That's the other thing. I don't like to smoke.
You don't like smoke. I prefer because I can manage. I can manage it better. I have the same problem you had with the edibles. It's like it takes longer, and then I get impatient, and I have more, and then I've had too much.
I will say a while back, I smoked some that was like just like THC oil. That is the truth. That's like the cleanest high, and there's no burn in your lungs. That I can handle smoking, but I think that's pretty hard to get.
Well, not really. It just depends on who you know. But I just haven't been doing much of that. I haven't been drinking as much. I mean, I'm actually having to do real work now, and
you've got to be a responsible adult.
I need to be a responsible adult.
Sucks for you, man.
I know. I'll still have fun on occasion, but now I know Nevada legalized it. When is that actually going to happen?
I don't know.
Because I know we're out there in May and June.
Is that official?
They passed it in the last election. I'll have to look it up and figure out when it's going to happen. But, all right, doesn't matter because I'll sleep better here than I do in Vegas, even if it is legal and I'm able to partake, because I have a mattress from Texas Mattress Makers. I have the Athens Gel, which is awesome, but they've got so many great mattresses there. And the springs and the coils that they put in these are top-notch, man. These mattresses, you can't get better anywhere else. And if you do go try to buy one somewhere else, you're going to pay a whole bunch more money for them. Here's what they're going to do. When you go, they're going to make it right there for you, custom fitted for the way you sleep. They're not going to ask you how much you want to spend. They're going to ask you, how do you want to sleep? And if the mattress they put you on is cheaper than the one you wanted, but it's better for you, that's what they want. They just want to do a great deal for you so you sleep better and you appreciate the fact that you're getting a great bed at a great, great deal. Right now, it's the last month to get the Amsterdam exclusively at Texas Mattress Makers. All sizes are on sale, but get the king size. The price is just $499 for a really awesome mattress. And the Barcelona, the most popular bed they sell at Texas Mattress Makers, top of the line. How about this? Queen size, $1,599. Go try to find something of that quality somewhere else. You're not going to do it. And don't just take my word for it. Go Yelp Texas Mattress Makers. How about this? They're the number one mattress store on Yelp. Thousands agree that Texas Mattress Makers delivers on quality and price. And these are great people here, and there's a reason they've been successful for as long as they have, because they're trying to get you the best sleep at the best price, and they are worried about their customers, nothing else, putting you on a great bed, and they're constantly improving their products. Go by and visit them today. 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed.
ESPN 97.5. Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. Let's give something away to the people. Caller 20, you're going to win tickets for two to attend the 2017 annual CCA Bay Area Banquet. It's a crawfish dinner with drinks, auctions, raffles, and good old-fashioned fundraising fun. It's this Friday, April 21st, at the Bay Area Community Center in Seabrook. Tickets are still available. Log on to ccatexas.org and get yours today. I just saw those, John. Thanks for sending them. There'll be more to give away on that.
Did you see that some Wonderlic scores came out?
I did not see that.
Is Wonderlic shaming a bad thing these days? I don't know what the rule is.
I think if you score under 10, you should be shamed.
What if you score 11?
Okay, that's close enough for a semi-shame.
But they've got Darren Rovell tweeted out a list of, an occupational comparison chart. The average score for all these different occupations when they took the test. So, like, systems analyst, the average is 32. That's the high. General manager, 30.
What about radio host?
Reporter, 28.
Okay.
Teacher, 28. Salesman, 25. The reporter's smarter than the salesman. I hope everyone at our station remembers
people know that.
Policeman, 21. Football player, average, 20. Mail clerk, 20. Maintenance man, 18. Truck driver, 18. Welder, 17. Warehouse man, 15. Custodian, 14. That's the bottom of the list.
No, internet troll, 4.
Okay.
That might not have made the list, but that's a good one.
Well, somewhere below custodian at 11 is where the top two running backs in this draft found themselves. Leonard Fournette and Dalvin Cook scored dueling 11s.
That really doesn't bother me for a running back.
You know, a running back doesn't need to be smart?
No, I mean, you know, here, block this guy. Here, hit this hole.
Okay.
That doesn't bother me. For a quarterback, yeah.
Quarterback and O-line, you want smart
O-line,
guys.
O-line, I want at least a 20.
Like maybe a middle linebacker, you want somebody to
definitely
be pretty smart.
Yeah, you don't want a 4 for your middle linebacker.
But like,
or your safety who's back there running your secondary.
But like a pass rusher or a running back?
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, you're probably okay.
Yeah, those guys.
Wide receiver, not that big of a deal?
Not a huge deal.
You don't want an 11, maybe a 13 for a wide receiver.
Yeah, at least a 13. But I think you want guys who will ideally you want smart guys, but let's face it, they're football players. They're not all smart. And as far as that position goes, you don't have to be the brightest guy. I'm okay with an 11. I'll still take them. So.
Well, did you see the tale of Cyrus Kwonjo?
I did.
He's, I don't know what his Wonderlic score it was, but whatever it was, he's gotten dumber.
I'm guessing
because of some sort of bath salts or synthetic
marijuana. Yeah, if you're
marijuana.
Under the influence, that automatically drops your Wonderlic score.
I don't know what he's under the influence of, but he was, not arrested, but he went to the hospital for observation. He was found in only a t-shirt, no pants, wandering around a field after he climbed over an electric fence. What had happened was a farmer called 911 this morning and reported a large man. Oh, excuse me. Yesterday morning, reporting there was a quote large man roaming around one of his fields.
How did he get over the electric fence if his thing was?
I think he didn't care. I think he just didn't care.
Shocking.
It was shocking to all parties involved. When the sheriff's deputy went to detain him, a police source said that Kwonjo yelled, "Shoot me, shoot me," which he didn't. But the football player, he'd initially parked his vehicle on the shoulder, climbed over a guardrail to gain access to the field. And they said he was acting really confused. He was no threat. Patrol deputies determined he was Cyrus Kwonjo. So
probably going to get his league drug test right after this.
I would guess so. Yeah. It's probably a good time to do it.
Anytime you're wandering somewhere naked, that's a pretty significant drug.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even half naked.
Because even like if you take heroin, you never roam out into someone's field half naked.
No,
you always just lay on the couch.
Maybe throw up on yourself.
And think that maybe you're dying a little bit, but it feels good. And then you finally eventually come back too. You know, if you do a bunch of blow, you're probably going to like, well, you're going to want to stay up all night and exercise and, you know, maybe go out and meet some chicks, have a good time. That's not the kind of drugs that lead you out into the middle of a field. So I don't know. This is a new drug, perhaps.
Or a lot of different drugs put together. That
could be.
That does sound like, well, of course, bath salt guy was eating people's faces off. So it's probably not that, right?
I hope not.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. If you want to text the show, 713-780-3776. And, man, I want to kind of follow up on this Florio thing that Jong helped get started, because he went on with Lance this morning on the other station, and I listened to the audio because Lamont tweeted it out, and actually Dustin wrote a really good article about it that I'm going to post on the website when I get home, which I have to tweak the title a little bit because this title is just Mike Florio sucks. We need it to be a little more, you know. But I have some thoughts about this and how. Well, and you know my stance on the media and what it's become. I mean, we've got a lot of people who are considered media that aren't journalists, and that's fine. And,
like me.
That's fine. But it's when these people try to set the rules for something they know nothing about. When you take a lawyer, for instance, who's masquerading as a journalist, then you get some really screwed up situations. So I kind of, when we come back, I want to dive into that just a little bit.
Okay.
If that's okay.
I accept that.
So 713-780-ESPN. Tell the people about the Chemo Boardwalk.
Yeah, tell people what's going on next Saturday, April 29th. It's the Chemo Craft Beer Fest going on from 2 to 5 p.m. out on the Chemo Boardwalk. The Boardwalk and 24 breweries invite you to spend the day sampling over 72 of the finest craft beers. If you haven't seen the list, they've got a lot of locals like Buffalo Bayou, Carbach, Eighth Wonder, St. Arnold, Spindletap. They're all going to be out there, as well as a bunch of the national brands like Ballast Point, Bell's, and New Belgium. They'll all be out there. You can buy tickets now for $44.95 per person when you buy them in advance. They'll be $49.95 the day of the event. They're $39.95 if you're a Landry Select Club member or if you have a military ID. And your admission includes beer samples, of course, giveaways from the beer vendors, and food samples. There's going to be live music all day. It's a full day planned out there. And for you real craft beer enthusiasts, at 1 p.m. you can take the Craft Beer Fest cruise on a yacht. The special guest host for that is Spindletap Brewery. Purchase tickets online at KemaBeerFest.com or on-site at multiple ticket booths at the Chemo Boardwalk. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase, and, of course, you must be 21 years of age to attend. That's the Chemo Craft Beer Fest, Saturday, April 29th from 2 to 5. KemaBeerFest.com for details.
I never sleep, cause sleep is the cousin of death. Beyond the walls of intelligence, life is defined. I think of crime. Well,
this is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Constellation Field in Sugarland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Hey, there's a real radio star here, man. It's our buddy producer Eric from KRBE is here. That's big time.
That's right.
Rula and Ryan.
One day Jong will be that big.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
As big as Rula. No one's bigger than Rula in this town.
Yeah, I do.
Right?
I
you agree, Fred?
Yeah, what you said.
Who's the biggest?
What you said. Thursday is opening day at Constellation Field. The Blitz is kicking off the party with a live broadcast from the stadium right now. Come hang out with us for the pregame chatter. Win some station gear. Tickets start as low as $8 with free parking. It's affordable family fun. Log on to Sugarland Skeeters and get your tickets today. And HD show with Fred Davis and All-Pro Henry Thomas coming up at 7. First 2,000 people out here get these championship rings, and we saw an actual championship ring.
Yep.
These are better.
Ours are better.
I'm happy
made
with
without
mine.
Ours don't have real diamonds, though.
No, but that's okay. We can fake it. Okay. I think we should send Tyler out with one of these and see if he can't pick up a chick.
Tyler has a standalone mustache at the moment, so that might be difficult.
That'll be a negative, yeah.
Might be difficult.
713-780-ESPN is your number. Okay, I want to talk about this Florio thing because
okay.
I listened to him today, and he was basically he did one of those things that people do now. And first off, I want to say I use his site. I think there's some really good stuff on there. I also think that the guy's made a lot of money doing what he does, which is to basically be an insider. Not insider, but someone who incites people. And good for him. But he's made an issue out of this thing, which I think Jong and Patrick Starr started. And the real issue, and if you're not familiar with it, it involves the DeAndre Hopkins story. But listening to him today, I realized just how the mindset of some of the people who are in charge of these websites is so flawed, especially his. And because his basic response, and look, when John first brought that up the other day, do you remember the first thing I asked? Did Aaron Wilson tweet that out? And everybody said no. So that's where the idea came in that they basically created
right.
The quote, which was incorrect. So we were wrong about that, and we were wrong for ripping them. But once you find out the full context, don't you take a second to say, okay, well, maybe we should clarify this? Because if you look at the headline basically had nothing to do with what he said. And at that point, you say, okay, we trusted Aaron Wilson's tweet, which is another issue altogether. I mean, basically what people are doing with websites is, oh, here's a tweet, let's make a story out of it. That I have a problem with too, but that's okay. They do business that way. That's their deal. But once it's wrong, go back and fix it. And when he was asked that, his response was basically, that's not how the world works. Well, that's how the world should work. And listen, if you're somebody, what bothers me is people who lock into a stance and will not change it no matter what, when the reality is, hey, when we first found that out and I thought that Pro Football Talk essentially fabricated the story, I'm ripping them for it.
Yeah.
Once we found out it was Aaron Wilson, what did I say? Hey, Aaron shouldn't have tweeted that. That's a crappy tweet that basically changed the entire meaning of what Hopkins said. And so that being the case, well, it's still irresponsible for Pro Football Talk not to come back and clarify it, which they haven't done. Instead, he goes on and he basically thought, oh, these are people who are out to get us and who don't like us. No, that's not it at all.
It's true. Jong is out to get him.
No, I don't think Jong likes him, but I don't think Jong set out to say, I'm going to go after Pro Football Talk today.
Oh.
And I don't think Patrick Starr did either. But the reality is, once they found out that it was Wilson's mistake and brought up the fact that, well, shouldn't you have still gone back and fixed it or at least dealt with it? And at no point did he admit they did anything wrong. He just took it like it was an attack on him. And I just think that is a terrible way to do business. And listen, we say a lot of stuff on this show that once you get more information, you realize, okay, I was wrong about that. Just say it. What is wrong with that? I think it goes to credibility. It's like you're so arrogant and you have to present yourself as this that you can't admit that, hey, the initial stuff, hey, I agree. People got it wrong. But what you didn't do was go back and say, let's clarify this. Why not? Oh, because I'm on this, everything I say has to be from this ivory tower and I have to dictate down to everybody. And that's the problem, because that, to me, is not credibility. Credibility is somebody who you can trust to admit when they're wrong. And at one point he also said, when asked about clickbait, and I'm sure Lamont will tweet that out again because I'm talking about it, so if you guys want to check it out, you can hear it. Just wait till after our show. But he said, oh, clickbait is the same as fake news. And that's bull bleep too. Clickbait is a headline like he did that draws you into a story that maybe isn't accurate. Now, the way they wrote it, they thought it was accurate, so I'll give them credit for that. But clickbait is like the Andre Johnson story that Brian posted on the site today. If I wanted to get you to read it, here's why Andre Johnson is not a Hall of Famer would have been the headline.
Okay.
Now, if you get into the story, that's in there, but that's not what the story's about. It looks at why he might not, and that's okay. But it's not inaccurate, but it gets you more interested than will Andre Johnson make the Hall of Fame.
Right.
That's clickbait. Fake news is Andre Johnson has a gay boyfriend.
Even if he doesn't have a gay boyfriend.
Right. Well, I'm assuming he doesn't. That's making it up. That's fake news.
That is fake news.
Clickbait's a totally different deal. And it's okay to admit that you do clickbait. And there are times we do clickbait. But the whole response to it was just so – it really – and I get this, the whole landscape now is people aren't – I'm not even sure – people should be called media anymore as much as content creators. And I think it's up to us to judge whether that content is trustworthy or not.
Well, I think the problem came in when, I mean, and it has cool things about it, but anybody can have a website now.
Yeah.
And if you've got a website, like if you've got a web domain, suddenly you're looked at as part of the media.
Right.
And there's a lot of people who haven't gone through the proper training to know what being a member of the media actually entails. And they're just like, oh, I'll just post what I want on my website. And then they realize, oh, the more hits I get, the more money I get
right,
for ads.
Exactly.
You know?
And you know what? That's okay, but that's part of the whole reason why fake news has come into existence.
Yeah.
And why people don't, and now people don't trust traditional media because they confuse it with garbage like this. And somebody asked the other day, I guess Barry and them were talking about it on air, and I just said, well, I trust AP News. And then somebody came back, well, even though they said this. Look, nobody gets everything right, but you know what? If they get something wrong, they come back and correct it. And there's not an agenda there. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. But you can't equate that with basically people creating content to get you to read. And, you know, cron.com, man, with those slideshows, that's crap. It's the same concept. It's just there to get you to click and get you to they get more hits so that they can tell their advertisers, ooh, look at all of our hits. The reality is, no, you're lying to your advertisers.
Yeah.
But that's all right. Regardless, you know, people don't understand the difference, and now anyone who is actually trained in media is looked at as the same as that. That's not fair, but that's reality, and that's what we'll live with. 713-780-ESPN, and yeah, Lamont tweeted that out. I'll retweet it if you – John says that's how the White House operates. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they?
No one's going to – what I mean, what are they going to be held accountable for?
Exactly. I mean, you can just say what you want. You don't have to have facts. You don't have to back it up. Just say what you want. And in our case, you can say whatever you want. That's my opinion. It's my opinion that Andre Johnson is not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And I'll do that. I'll do my best to back it up. But that's a lot different than, you know, writing a news story and saying something like they did with DeAndre Hopkins. And yes, for ripping them for the initial thought that they had gone through and basically cut up the quote, we were wrong on that. And it was
John was wrong, technically.
Well, yeah, but I ripped him for it too because I did ask, did Wilson tweet that out?
I ripped him because John said that he didn't tweet it. So this is really boils down to this is John's fault and as John would say, Mark Florio's fault.
Right.
Yes.
But I would also say that
John was pushing fake news. Yeah, he was trying to get clicks because he tweeted out something at Florio that wasn't true, and John probably picked up a follower or 200, whatever, yesterday. And
because that's what you do. You go after guys with more followers than you, and that's how you get followers.
And at the end of the day, who gets blamed for it? Not John. It's us.
Yeah. Of course, because it's the Degenerates 975 account, right?
Right.
But I have to say, his response to the whole thing being about, you know, that people are against us and they don't like us, that is such a common and crappy response, and you don't have to back it up. And if you go back and listen to that, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't respond to anything. He just deflects the blame. And, oh, if someone attacks me, we're going to defend our people. Okay, answer the question, though. And he never did. And that's unfortunately – that's what these guys do, but they also make a ton of money doing it, and until somebody calls them on their BS.
Jong, how much money did you get for what you did?
HBO money.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Listen, there's a lot of disgruntled employees out there in America, over half according to these reports. Maybe you've got a job where, you know, people hate you because you dish out fake news. Maybe you've got a job that keeps you out in the summer heat or the rain, and nobody wants that. If you're disgruntled, see if the computer industry is right for you. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. And in My Computer Career, you could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years. Even with zero IT experience, you attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week. You're going to get the skills and industry certifications you need to start your new career. My Computer Career, it's nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon. Go take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.